Let's begin where we do it at John 3:16. But we're going to do 16 and 17, and then we're going to do John 13, 34 to 35 out of the Amplified Bible, okay? But John 3:16, we're going to do that to King James. Why don't you read that with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in John 13, he said, I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. And that's one thing, that's part of that overflow that comes out. You know, if you have the love on the inside, it's not enough unless it's overflowing onto the outside. Amen. Okay, and not just staying on you, but being spread to anyone that comes in your space or in your area, that love should rub off on them. But let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm just going to read verse 18 in 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to read it in three different translations. Because, you know, there's among Christendom, so to speak. it's amazing what people will actually get into a debate over. And we forget that the Bible says avoid those foolish wranglings and things. But, you know, it's like, no, you don't thank God for all things. You thank God in all things. Some say, no, you thank him for all things, not just in all things. And then folks get into an argument, for in. Like, maybe if you just gave thanks, you wouldn't be arguing right now. You know? But once we get an understanding, it will be clear what we are supposed to do. So verse 18, why don't you read it aloud in the King James, or I read my translations. Just read verse 18 out loud for me. Okay. You want to know what it says in the Contemporary English Version? Okay, take a deep breath. Okay. Pat the person on the shoulder next to you and say, it's going to be all right. Okay. Because this is going to eliminate the in or for. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Contemporary English Version. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. Okay. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. Amplified Bible. Thank God in everything. You say, see, it says in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. This is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer, the mediator of that will. And the Message Bible says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Jesus Christ to live. He wants us to live giving thanks in all circumstances, in all situations, for anything that comes, we're to give God thanks. You're like, what if it's a tragedy? Well, you know something? What really constitutes a tragedy? When you think about it, what constitutes a tragedy? a point of view.
Yes.
Yes. A point of view.
Yes.
Something happens to someone you're close to, it's a tragedy. The same thing happens to someone you don't know. You see a little column in the newspaper, and you say, oh, well, Father, okay, just bless him and his family, and that's that. Same circumstances, exactly the same circumstances. So when you think about it, what's really a tragedy? The emotional effect an incident has on us. That's what we call a tragedy. And there's some people, you know, the world calls them drama queens and kings, but they make tragedies out of everything. I mean, no matter what comes. I saw someone once, he had a new car, and the funny part about it is my car was brand new also, and when I opened the door didn't hit his car. Didn't hit, because I'm mindful of those things. But it came close. This guy came around the car like a shot. Like a shot, like looking at. I looked and I said, we're good, brother. we're good. Then he realized how silly he was. I'm like, no, it's okay. It's okay. I said, it's like your new baby, right? And he's like, you know what to say. But can you imagine if the door went, that would have been tragic to him. So we have to understand, because the scripture gave us a key that we miss. Keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. See? We don't take the time to look for Christ in everything that happens around us. And I'm going to show you something about that. I called it 6:36 because I got it at 6:36 on Wednesday evening. So you can remember Wednesday evening at 6:36 when we get to that point. Okay. Okay. But according to those verses, no matter what comes, no matter what afflicts or affects or antagonizes, it's God's will for us to be thankful. That's his will. And we can't get away from that. Pastor Judy taught us that thankfulness is a mental and or verbal expression of one's acknowledgement and appreciation of God's person, God's grace, God's blessing, and God's sovereignty working in our lives and in the world. And when you think about it, if I just gave you this Bible, you would take it and you would say, why would you say thank you? Yes. You I gave it, you received it, and you appreciate it. So you see, well, that's how the body works. We have many parts, but you get one whole. All right. And see, what we need to understand is thank you is the ultimate expression of faith. Because when God promises you something and you say thank you, you are saying to God, I believe I, A, either already have it, or B, it's coming because you said so. In either case, I'm saying thank you. And I'm going around with an attitude of thankfulness because I believe that. See, Thanksgiving should never be dependent on what you see. Never. Look at John 20. Because when you say thank you, you don't have the slightest doubt that you didn't get something. Not the slightest. John 20 is in the Message Bible. I'm sharing this. Verse 26 to 29. And this is after Jesus was crucified and he appeared to some and Thomas wasn't there. And when they told him, Thomas was like, yeah, well, no, unless I see with my eyes, and I feel with my hands, I won't believe. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say it like that. I don't think so. I'm older, but I'm not that old. Okay. But beginning at verse 26, it says, 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus came through the locked doors and stood among them. Now, there shouldn't have been anything else that had to happen. He came through the locked doors and stood among them. And he had to say peace to you because those folks were probably ready. But then he focused his attention on Thomas. Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hands and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. So Thomas did that. And after he did that, he said, my master, my God. And Jesus said, so you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Listen to, I love the way the Amplified Bible puts this. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. See, there's a certain level of blessing you're going to get naturally just because of who you are. But to get it all, to get every drop, as Deacon Rosemary was sharing during the ministry of giving, you have to believe even when things look like it's never going to happen. You have to believe and start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, because you guaranteed me the victory in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is still alive, so I'm still guaranteed the victory. Thank you. I mean, that's what it is. That's why we cannot wait for manifestations. Some folks say, well, I know God told me. Key words. I know God told me to do thus and so. Okay, well, you're doing it? No. Why not? You just told me you know God told you to do this. Why aren't you doing it? Well, you know, I need to get the money together to get here. Well, did God say do this when the money comes in? Was he that specific? He gave you all the specifics you need. Do this. The only correct response is three words. Actually, four. Okay. Thank you. I know okay is not two words. I'm just okay. But again, remember what Pastor Judy taught us. Thanksgiving guarantees the win before the battle. Before the battle. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you're getting into a ring, you're facing the heavyweight champ, and before the bout starts, you call a referee and say, just raise my hand in victory now. Okay. Because I already know, we already know the outcome of this one. But okay. Because I'm in Christ Jesus, and God already told me, thanks be to him who always causes me to triumph in Christ. I'm in Christ. He's going down. Okay? I mean, it's just that simple. Okay? But that's the type of attitude that we have to have, because when we have those types of attitudes, stress and worry, there's no place for it. And really, what you're doing is you're emptying out all that worry and doubt clutter so you have room for what God has for you. Right now, some of us are so filled with hidden doubt, if God wanted to pour stuff into us, it wouldn't have enough room. We have this stuff inside of us because we haven't seen it yet. And we're waiting to see it. Yes, I agree. If your child says, I want to take the car, and they don't have a state driver's license, don't give it to them by faith. Okay? Yes, that you have to see, because that's the law of this land, okay? But once they've done that, and they've taken care of all of the qualifications and requirements of the government, then when you give them the car, you thank you Father, because you said you preserve their going out and going in henceforth and forevermore. And you go on to sleep and do what you have to do and forget about it. I hear some children saying, yeah, that's right. I saw that look. Says it's coming soon. See, look at Colossians 1, verse 12, 14. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us, hath made, not is going to, thanks to the Father, which has made us meet, that means fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, even whom in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, that's King James's. Listen to the Amplified. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light, in Christ. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness. See, so we can take what that comedian years ago said, you know, the devil made me do it. That's a lie. My friend made me do it. That's a lie. Because of this circumstance, that's a lie. Okay? Nobody and nothing can make you do anything because you have been taken out of the control, out of the dominion of the powers of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So anything that we do, it's because we choose to. Period. Choose to. The devil, didn't Jesus say that he gave us power over all the power of the devil? Yes. And one translation says, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power he possesses. Well, I think all is encompassing. That's the way I see the word all. And since it's encompassing, then that means the devil cannot have any effect on me forever about anything unless I want it. Unless I want it. See, what happens is when someone does something, we process it. And if we process, I don't like that, and we meditate on that, we're going to add something to it. I don't like that. Who do they think they are? And then we know where it is. So we have to just take some effort. That's why I'm going this way. And I'm opening up the door to darkness. Who do you think you are talking to me like that and doing all these? Get that done and you... Well, praise the Lord. Okay? God is good. All the time. Tell me about it. Yes, you know. No, see, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. We have to make a conscious choice not to give thanks, go where the darkness is and get some, so that because we've been translated from, taken out of, he no longer has control over us. We have to realize what the scripture is saying. It said, he's delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness. So darkness can never affect us ever again unless we want it. Unless we want it. And since you can't have light and dark at the same time, in order to operate in darkness, I have to make a conscious choice to step away from the light. That's what I have to do. And if I stay in darkness, I'm not giving thanks. I'm not giving thanks because I'm not going to see anything that's thankful. I'm going to be mad about everything and angry and evil. And I don't have to be. I can choose to be thankful whatever the circumstances may be. The Phillips translation said that's the will. The Phillips translation says if you follow this advice, be thankful whatever the circumstance may be. If you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ. We have to stop thinking that just because it's God's will is going to happen. I used to think that because everybody used to say it. Everybody. Hey, we go to a meeting and three people there. Well, that's God's will. Those three people were supposed to be there. No, really? Okay. I don't think so. I think God wanted everybody to be there. And these three decided to show up. They answered the call. But when you think about it, there's so many examples, but God, I'm just going to read the ones he gave me. God's will was not for over 3,000 of his children to be killed by the Levites because they wouldn't take his side. That wasn't his will, all right? His will was not for the children of Israel to wander in the desert for 40 years. Wasn't part of his will. His will was not for Aaron to die prematurely. His will was not for Moses to miss going into the promised land, and his will was not for Cain to kill Abel. But those things happened, not because it was God's will, but it was the choice of the people involved. And they had no clue as to what they were doing. They didn't know. They should have known, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost to guide them into all truth. So they were acting on emotion. Emotion will cause you to miss God's will by a country mile and then some. Just because we got emotional and didn't say stay spiritual. That's why when I heard someone, when Pastor Ed and I were in Tulsa, we went through the bookstore and they have this laugh section. You guys know how I like to laugh. And so I bought this CD. I'm like, it's got to be funny. It's hosted by Sinbad. It's got to be funny. He was the host. You know it's pitiful when the host is the funniest person on the CD. Okay. Matter of fact, it wasn't pitiful. I don't know what's worse than pitiful. It was. Okay. It was. I mean, I think one of the funniest things on the whole CD, even with Sinbad, someone asked him, how can you be a Christian and why do you have the name Sinbad? He said, well, it reminds me of something. And he said, Sinbad. Okay. All right. That was the funniest part of the whole CD. Okay. But there was one comedian on there who had a child out of wedlock. I'm not going to condemn anyone for that. But she said, if I had it all over to do again, knowing what I know now, I'd do the same thing. I'm like, excuse me? You could be in the same place in God's will without going through that. Okay? And I'm thinking, she doesn't know anything. And I'm not being critical, but it's just that's what she said. And said this to an audience filled with people. And so there's some folks that say, oh, so I guess this isn't so bad. Yes, God will work all things together. But while he's working it together, you're going to go through some stuff. He's not going to stop that baby from needing to be fed at 3 a.m. He's not going to stop that baby from whining when you want to go to sleep. And he's not going to let that baby come out toilet trained. No, okay. You know, I mean, and I'm like, what is she thinking? You know, no, we need to understand that just because something is God's will, we still have a responsibility. We still have some things that God is expecting us to do to work his will out in our lives. They're choices we have to make. I mean, they're choices. They're things that we have to do. They're things we have to stop doing. if we're going to work out the will in his life. And it's little things. Just like I'm standing there and I'm hearing, you're standing on holy ground. I'm like, and I'm excited. Yeah, Lord, I know it's holy ground. You will take your shoes off. And I'm like, taking shoes off? What? He said, you're standing on holy ground. Tell the people to take their shoes off. So I said, take your shoes off. So how come you don't have yours back on? He didn't say, put them back. He said, you're standing on holy ground. So he said, I'm here. You're standing on holy ground. That's fine. My attitude is, he's still here. Because he's the one speaking to you. Okay? So he didn't say, put it back on, thou sheweth. So they stayeth over thereeth. Okay. Not me, it's the genes. No. The Amplified Bible says, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. And as I shared with you before, it says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. No matter what the circumstance may be. Third thing that Pastor Judy said, and I'm using all those three things stuck with me. She said, thanksgiving is a witness that God is doing things for us here in the earth. It's a witness. Because you see, believers, all they're doing is walking around saying thank you and nothing's affecting them. That's a witness. When they see us walking around grumbling and in distress, that's also a witness. That's also a witness. But do you remember what Jesus said? I've said it to you, I don't know how many times. We're like a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. So no matter what we do, whether we're letting our light shine or whether we turn our light out, we're a witness. And people are going to see us. And Jesus gave us a suggestion. He told us what we should do. Let our light so shine before men that they can see our good works. And just now, the thought popped in. He said, so shine. That means we have to go out of our way to make sure our light is shining. Out of our way. That's easy when we're sitting here. Okay. That's not so easy when you allow yourself to develop a last nerve. Then you don't go out of the way. You want to get out of the way yourself. Because if you stay in the way, you can't have a last nerve. Because if you stay in the way, you have to keep on loving, and love never fades out or comes to an end. Love endures long. Okay? Love endures long. So love can never have a last nerve. So when the people see that light shine, they're like, oh my goodness. There has to be something, maybe there's something to this God stuff, because there's no other way they could do this. I know I couldn't do it. But look at all of these people, the way they're operating. And nothing shakes them. Nothing shakes them. Gas prices are $5 a gallon, they're at the pump singing. They're singing. I'm mad, they're singing. They're not upset about anything. I'm sitting right behind them in a line, and I see them, their hands are in the air, and they're smiling and stuff. And I'm like, why won't this line move? I've been sitting here for 5 minutes. What's going on here? Hey, we move up, buddy. Come on, we got someplace to go. You know, and your veins are sticking, and they're like, you're just seeing these believers, and they're just thankful. You walk by their car. Thank you, Father, that there's gas here to come into my car. Thank you that the station is open. They have a nice orderly line. Thank you, Father, that nothing's going to happen as I pump my gas. No one's smoking any cigarettes. You know? I mean, thank you, Lord. That's it. Just thank you. Thank you, Father, that now the car, I know they say that this car only gets 17 miles a gallon, but thank you that it'll supernaturally get 30 miles a gallon. Okay. Just thank you. Just find reasons to say thank you. And the people, boy, what's wrong with them? The answer is nothing. Everything's right with them. They're living a life of thankfulness. And that's the way you want to be also. Because when you live a life of thankfulness, guess what's not there? Stress and worry. Not there. But in Matthew 15, you know, there was all these people that hadn't eaten, and all they had were these few loaves and fishes. And Jesus said, give them something to eat. And they're like, excuse me? We just have these few fish, these few loaves. Jesus took the loaves and the fish, and the first thing he did was he gave thanks. He gave thanks. And then after he gave thanks, he didn't sit there and wait for this enormous amount of fish and bread to appear. He had the few. He gave thanks and started giving it to his disciples to give to the people. He said, how could he do that? Well, his thankfulness stimulated his faith. What I should say, his thankfulness made his faith active. It's because he had faith that he could give thanks. But giving thanks causes faith to become active when now it wants to do something based on what he just said. So I just said, thank you, Father. You've provided for these people. What's the next step? Give to the people what he provided. So he just started giving. And the supply never ran out. Why? He said, thank you. He never once thought, this is not going to be enough for all these people. The thought never entered his mind. Even though it entered his disciples' mind, had no effect on the outcome. Why? Because the disciples were not in charge. Jesus was. Why is that important? Because you have folks that have nothing, no say in your life whatsoever, and you're allowing them to sow seeds that cause doubt and unbelief. And then you don't say thank you. You start saying the same thing they're saying. What's going to happen to this country? What's with this economy? Well, because of this president that's in office now, it's tearing the country apart. But what are you saying? What are you saying? I'm not trying to be cruel or mean, but who cares if your candidate didn't win? The election's over. Okay? You have a new responsibility. Actually, it's not new. You should have never got caught up in a candidate in the first place. But if you did, you did. Okay? But now it's over. Now you got to get back in line with what God said. And he said, not just pray for the rulers. He said, pray for people everywhere. We seem to forget something. See, politicians don't elect politicians. People do. You just pray just for the politicians. What about the people? Okay. We ought to pray that they get the heart of God and pull the lever God wants. Because God said, you pray that way so that we can live peacefully and honestly before his face. That's what he said. And we add to it. I guess there's nothing wrong with it, but I did. I started looking for the passage that said, pray that they're surrounded with godly men and women. And I'm like, they already are. They're surrounded by a nation filled with godly men and women who are not doing their job. No, we're not. We're taking sides. We are. When I was looking at that, it got to a point where I wouldn't look at my Facebook page. I wouldn't look at it because I see believers on there. I have folks that they're on the Republican side, and they have all of this pro-Governor Romney stuff, and then the other ones pro-president stuff, and it and they You know, they won't just go out and talk about each other, just make comments. You know. And one day I just couldn't take it anymore. And I put on there, excuse me, what about the office that we hold? Ambassadors for Christ, ministers of reconciliation. We're the ones that are supposed to bring about God's platform, not a Republican platform, not a Democratic platform, but a divine platform. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, and, you know, and it's, amen. And then nobody says nothing. Yo, okay. But we have to give thanks. Thank you, Father, that this nation has a president. This nation has a Congress. Thank you that they're going to get along and work in harmony, even though they may have differences of opinions. We already have an organization that has to work that way. It's called a church. It's filled with people with different opinions. Filled with it. We have to work together under one head, Jesus Christ. That means the church should be moving in one direction, the whole body. But it's not. It's not. See, the church is a laser rifle, not a shotgun. Okay. And we treat it as a shotgun, where everybody just goes wherever they want, all over the place. And some hit the mark and some don't. You know, we have to start out staying in faith and just giving thanks. See, Jesus said thank you because he believed that what God had provided was all that was necessary for the task at hand. That was it. That needs to be our attitude. Whatever God tells you, whatever you have, is more than enough to do what he said, if you'll just believe it and give him thanks for it. See, if I don't believe it, I don't act on it. I don't act on it. I'm not going to, I'd be a fool to act on something I didn't believe. And if I can't say thank you, then I don't believe God did it. If I can't say thank you, God, I don't believe he did it. I'm still waiting for him to do. And so what I'm demonstrating is I don't believe what he said. And if I don't believe what he said, it's impossible for me to get what he said, because it's impossible for me to please him because I'm not in faith. And because I'm not in faith, I won't say thank you. And if I don't believe, this is very important, folks. If I don't believe what was written, if I don't believe God will do what he said, maybe I don't believe that God is. Because if I believe that God is, then I have to believe that everything about him is, and then that means I would have to believe he's faithful. And if I believed all of that, guess what I would say? Thank you. But if I can't form my lips to say thank you, I am really doubting the existence of God. Because my attitude is, surely if there was a God, he'd do something about this. He did. And what'd he do? He put you there to speak life into the situation. You who he has already delivered from the control of the powers of darkness, he placed right in the middle. Shine your light. Shine your light. And give him thanks. You remember what happened at Lazarus' tomb? He said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. And you're like, all right, what did he say? Go to John 11. I'll show you some things that he said and believed. We're going to get to 636. I'm just going to run quickly through some things. Are you at John 11? Verse 11, Jesus said, Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. That's what he said. And his disciples said, well, if he sleeps, he'll do well. They didn't get it. Okay. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Okay. And I'm glad for your sakes. Can you imagine? You get word that someone you love, your close friend is dead, and you say, yeah, he's dead, and I'm glad. Okay. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. One translation says, you're about to be given new grounds for believing. Then when Jesus came there, he was in the grave 4 days, and then Martha shows up, verse 21, and she casts an accusing finger. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Then she catches herself. But I know that even now, she remembered, ooh, I'm talking to Jesus here. Let me backpedal. But I know that even, well, this is what she said. She said, I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said to her, who said this to her? What did he say? Okay, so she said, I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, you will do. He will do it. And he said, your brother shall rise. Her next response should have been, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. She'd been running all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What did she say? I know. I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. You know, why didn't she just thank God because of what Jesus said? She just got finished saying, I know that whatever you ask God, he'll give it. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Yeah, in the last day. The last day isn't right now. You just said whatever I ask right now, God's going to give it. And I'm telling you right now, your brother's going to rise again. She did what we all are guilty of doing. She looked at all of the immediate circumstances, and she leaned hard on her own understanding. And she could not wrap her head around Jesus being able to bring her brother, who had been rotting for 4 days, back from the dead. Just couldn't see it. So since she couldn't see it, she couldn't thank him for it. Couldn't thank him. She couldn't see it naturally, and she couldn't even see it by faith. So she couldn't say thank you. See, I have to read this verbatim, that God gave me this. He just said to me, read it verbatim, because I want them to get this. She was too deep in experiencing that which is natural, the death of her brother, that she was not sensing the divine presence of God through Jesus Christ, whose sole purpose for being there was to bring Lazarus back from the dead. We have to understand Jesus' sole purpose for being here is to deliver us from the powers of darkness, to allow us to get our inheritance in the saints, with the saints. His sole purpose for being here. With his stripes, we were healed. His sole purpose. We get too deep in experiencing that which is natural, we don't sense the supernatural. And we have to get to the point where we can sense God's divine presence through Christ Jesus. Jesus said to her, I am, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Again, to me, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Do I open the stone now, Lord? Okay. I mean, that's what. Now she gets philosophical. Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son which should come into the world. He already came. Okay. He's already there. And he said, believest thou this? And then she goes away. She doesn't go away rejoicing. She goes away and lies. She goes to her sister secretly and said, the master come and he's calling you. He didn't tell her to go get Martha. He didn't say anything about that. Again, why didn't she go and say, thank God, Mary, Jesus is here and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And they get into their Holy Ghost dance. No. So now Jesus has to replay this whole thing. Mary came, fell down at his feet. If you had the same thing, if you'd been here, he wouldn't be dead. And he's like, ay, 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 ay. What? No attitude of thankfulness, no faith, complaints and accusations, and we guilty. We guilty. God, why didn't you do something? You knew this was going to happen. Why didn't you tell me? That's the attitude that we get with God. And we forget he probably was telling us, but we were too deep in the emotion of the present that we didn't sense his presence. We got to forget the present and rely on his presence. There's a distinct difference. And just say thank you because of his presence. But she fell down. And Jesus saw her weeping. And he's like, you know what? Enough of this. All right. Where'd you lay him? Okay. And Jesus, he's weeping. He's like, Father, thank you for these your people. And let me know what I have to do, because they're just not getting it. They're not getting it. He says, take away the stone. And again, Martha jumps in. And I'm like, why'd she say that? He's about to do something. And you're like, no, don't move that stone. The stench that's going to come out of there, we all be dead. He's like, no, leave it. And I'm like, wait a minute. He just said your brother will rise. In order to do that, we want to rise and stay behind the stone. You got to move. You got to open it. You got to act like you believe something different is about to happen. See, we expect God to do supernatural, and we keep doing the same thing. Same thing. You believe in God that you need a car because you don't have one. You have a garage, but you don't have a car. And you've been confessing God, you know, God, I need a car, I need a car. But if he gave you one, it couldn't fit in your garage because of all the stuff in there. You believe he's going to give you a car, you clean out your garage. Get it ready. Every day you come down. Okay, no, it's not in there yet. Okay, some more. Let me just keep it clean. Thank you, Father, that in this spot it's going to be, and you call out whatever the car is you believe in him for. You just call it out. I mean, I did, for I think it was 3 years. God told us, start believing for an edge. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't eat anything. Father, thank you for the Ford Edge. Before I ate anything, I thank you for it. Thank you for it. Got a place with a garage. We're getting this edge. Got a place with it. No, I need 2-car garage. Because when the edge comes, I want to stay outside in the snow. It's going in this other garage. Okay, I mean, that's what we, that's what we did. When did we stop? When I drove off the lot in the edge. then I started thanking him. I still thank him for it. I still thank him for it. Because he still got to maintain it. Okay. There's something else he told me, started calling in. And it was something I didn't even want. I'm serious. It wasn't a secret desire. It's something I didn't particularly like. But he wants me to have it. So he said, start calling this in. And I'm like, But I, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know. But he said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. All we have to do is understand that with God, all things are possible, and no word from God is ever without power or impossible of fulfillment. And Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, in verse 40, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? He said, didn't I just say that to you? And they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted, that's why he lifted up his eyes and said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You've heard everything that I've said in faith. Everything. I already knew it, but now they know it. Thank you, Lord. Lazarus, come forth. 4 days dead, stinking, okay, wrapped up like a mummy, walking. We seem to forget that. It says he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and there was a napkin tied across his face. But he saw clearly how to get out of that tomb, and he was able to walk out even though his legs were bound. Why? Because the divine presence went in, because Jesus dared to just say, thank you. You heard me. I know you always hear me. So Jesus knew when he said the words, Lazarus, come forth, and he only says the things that his father tells him to say. He knew whatever he said had to work. So I thank you that you always hear me. So Jesus walked around in an attitude that every word that came out of his mouth was going to be so, because God heard it. And if God heard it, then he knew he had it. Well, isn't that what the scripture tells us? And verse 44 says, he that was dead came forth. Folks, we need to understand that thanking God is intoxicating. It's an intoxicant. It is. You keep going around thanking God, the next thing you start acting like you believe everything you thank them for. And you don't care what happens. And you don't care how loud you say it. Seems like the worse things get, the louder your thanks go. I mean, that's what it is. And you don't care. You absolutely don't care. You don't care what people think. You don't care what you look like. It doesn't matter. You run and fall down. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just having a fit of thanksgiving. And you flat out don't care, because you know what your God is going to do. That's what we're talking about. You cannot worry and be thankful at the same time. You can't. You're either going to worry or you're going to be thankful. Please don't be thankful for the worry. Okay? Please don't do that. Okay? See, because they come from two totally different camps. They're two totally different spirits. See, the spirit of worry doesn't reside in heaven. You need to understand that. It's not a good and perfect gift. So it doesn't come down from the Father of lights. It comes up from the pit of hell. And we have to take it, open up our heart, and shove it in. It can't get there on its own. Because if it could get there on its own, then Jesus lied when he said he gave us dominion over all the power of the enemy. Because worry is just the power of the enemy. That's all it is. And it's the result of unbelief. That's a lack of faith. On the other hand, I'm going to read it just the way I wrote it. Thankfulness means you have unwavering faith that God will do exactly what he said he would, and on time. On time. In Philippians 4, verse 6 says, don't worry over anything, whatever. Tell God every detail of your need in earnest and thankful prayer. And when you do that, it says the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ. They rest in Christ. You're going to have absolute and total undisturbed peace. No matter what comes. No matter what comes. In Daniel 6, I'm winding down. I'm going to finish on that. I think it's 6:36. But in Daniel 6, we read, you know, that Daniel had this habit. Three times a day, he would get in his window, face Jerusalem, and pray and give thanks. That's what he did. Okay? I mean, and, of course, there were some people that wanted what he had. You need to understand that, you know, when you live a life of thankfulness of God, there are going to be some people that are going to try and take you down a few notches. So you need to just get it settled. They're going to be there. Thank God for them, because it's just another opportunity to demonstrate that our God is greater. But they tricked the king into signing this law that made it illegal to ask anything of anybody other than the king for 30 days. I mean, and the king signed it. And the Bible says, verse 10, Daniel 6, says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel knew the king had signed this thing into law. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber, that means in his room, his bedroom, toward Jerusalem, he got down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously, or as he has always done. See, when you live a life of thanksgiving, threats won't faze you. You won't care. You're going to keep giving God thanks. He knew that he'd probably be thrown in the lion's den. It didn't faze him. It didn't faze him at all. He continued to do what he knew he was supposed to do. And folks, look at it. Is he crazy? Is he drunk? Yep. He's intoxicated. He's filled up with thanksgiving. He's controlled by it. So, yeah, he's drunk. And he doesn't care. And the Bible, you remember what the Bible said about Daniel? What did it say what type of spirit Daniel had? Right. The Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, oh, nobody could do that. Well, you have an excellent spirit, of course. Of course you can do that. You have an excellent spirit. Nothing's going to faze you. And then I was like, wait a minute. He's not the only one with an excellent spirit. Go to John 16. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and it's not dormant. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Some translation says he will tell you of things to come. Whether he shows you or tells you, that's irrelevant. But we have in us 100% pure spirit of God. In us. You can't get more excellent than that. And if Daniel could do what he did in the face of that adversity because he had an excellent spirit, how much more should we be doing because we have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in us? And this is what he told me at 6:36. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Jesus said that the Holy Ghost will guide us into all things and show us things to come." That means in all things, the Holy Ghost will guide us to the truth that our God will deliver us, redeem us, and provide for us. He'll guide us to that. Then, that's not all. Because he said he'll show us things to come, and we think we're in a pickle, he'll show us being redeemed from it. He'll show us. Or he'll tell us, you're going to be redeemed this day. Either way, we have absolute knowledge that we win. How could we not, in the midst of any trial or tribulation, get on our feet, throw our hands in the air, and shout out, thank you, Lord, because the Holy Ghost makes sure that we know we have the victory. Daniel didn't have that. We do. We do. How much more should we be giving thanks and singing praises to his name? How much more? Psalm 75, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks for that thy name is near thy wondrous works declare." Psalm 92, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." Psalm 107 says it a few times. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is and his endureth." How many of you are righteous? Psalm 140:13 says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, and the upright shall dwell in his presence." And we have to understand 1 John 4. It ends by 4:6, ends by saying, "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." That means we know what's right and we know what's wrong. We know we should be giving thanks when we're not giving thanks. We know we're in error. Don't stay there. I'm not being cruel. I'm not. I'm not being mean. But, see, not knowing something just means that we were ignorant. Nothing wrong with being ignorant. It can be cured easily by being educated. And that's not just school, just being taught something, you're no more ignorant of it. But when we know we're in error and we refuse to do something about it, and we know what's going to happen if we don't change, and we choose not to change, we're being stupid. We are. We're being stupid. Beg pardon? Well, you're not in faith. Because if you're in faith, you change. You change. Because you believe God would give you everything that you need so that you could change. And the Bible says that which is not faith is sin. So we have to get this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything, give thanks." This is what God wants you to do because of Christ Jesus. And I'm going to unhook right there, folks. Thanksgiving, giving thanks, it's an extremely powerful act. It really is. It says, "I know I have the victory, and the battle hasn't even started yet. Hasn't even come. The enemy hasn't even put his troops together, and I know I win. So I'm saying thank you now." That's that song he says, "Don't wait till the battle's over, shout now." Because in the end, we're going to win. We know we're going to win. Stop waiting to see the manifestation before you act on it. Because I'll tell you something, if that's what you're doing, it's not correct English, but you ain't never going to see it. You're not. Because number one, you're not in faith. And number two, you're so wrapped up in looking for it, you're going to go right past it. You are, it's just right past you. And you're like, Lord, you get upset. Lord, what happened? I thought you said. Those are some dangerous words. Dangerous words. Or, Lord, you said you'd never leave me. Why am I alone? So now you just call God a liar. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you just said he did. Why? We got too deep in an emotional experience that we could not sense his divine presence through Christ Jesus. And because we didn't believe, we just couldn't say thank you. But that was then. That's not now. Now we know. And no matter what comes up, we're going to open up our mouths. We're not going to try and figure out, you know, am I in something or not? Whatever comes, however it comes, we're going to lift up our hands, we're going to lift up our voice, and we're going to shout out, thank you, Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to say, thank you, Lord. I never grumbled or complained. You know, when the devil started throwing sickness darts at me and some of them stuck, I was like, why does that have to happen to me? I'm not, because God might have asked me a question I didn't want to answer. Then I say, well, who do you want me to let it happen to? Now what am I supposed to say? Remember this guy I ran into the other day? Give it to him. He hasn't received my son yet. Well, that, let me think. Is there anybody else? Then what are you going to start doing? Think about all the believers, you know? I mean, but we get so wrapped up in things like that that we're just not thinking clearly.